WYPR is here to keep you connected to your community. And as our communities change amid the coronavirus pandemic, that connection is more important than ever before. Member support makes it possible. And if you can, we hope you'll help us out. If you're a sustaining member, consider increasing your monthly pledge or become a new member with a first-time gift. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link. And thanks.
This is Anibon Basu with your Monday Morning Economic Report. America's average life expectancy has been in decline for three consecutive years. A baby born in 2017 is expected to live to be 78.6 years old, down from 78.7 the year before, according to data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's National Center for Health Statistics. That doesn't sound like much of a decline, but as indicated by writer Upton Salidi, the last 3 years represent the longest consecutive decline in the American lifespan at birth since the period between 1915 and 1918. That period included World War I and the Spanish flu pandemic, events that led to millions of deaths worldwide. Prior to the recent decline, life expectancy had been rising steadily in America, which is probably what one would expect of an advanced nation, especially one that spends more money per citizen on healthcare than any other. The U.S. is not alone. A recent study projects that lifespans in the United Kingdom are also set to get shorter. Life expectancy is still on the rise in France, Germany, Sweden, and in the Netherlands, but the rate of increase there has declined. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Tuesday Morning Economic Report. As many know, European demographics are generally different from America's. While America is home to many younger workers, including recent immigrants, many European nations are aging more rapidly. As indicated by writer Tom Fairless, to stave off demographic decline, European governments and businesses are striving to bolster employment and productivity among older workers. Economists have until recently presumed that worker productivity peaked somewhere between the ages of 30 and 45 before declining rapidly after about age 60. But recent research challenges that. Examining large data sets, economists from Munich's Technical University and elsewhere determined that the productivity of manufacturing and service sector workers doesn't change much through the age of 65. Mindful of a rapidly aging workforce, executives at BMW tried an experiment at a factory in Bavaria several years ago. They staffed an assembly line exclusively with older workers, one with an average age approaching 50. By rendering small tweaks, ergonomic chairs, less rigid wood floors, lenses to magnify smaller parts, BMW transformed that line into one of its most efficient. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Wednesday Morning Economic Report. According to the latest available data, the official rate of unemployment stands at 3.7%, one of the lowest levels registered in half a century. Theoretically, low unemployment should translate into rapid wage growth as employers scramble to compete for scarce human capital. Instead, wage growth has remained modest and inflation weak, leading economists to reevaluate how we measure labor market performance. As indicated by writer David Harrison, many economists conclude that the official unemployment rate is increasingly inadequate to gauge labor market health. Ongoing research by two University of Maryland economists, Catherine Abraham and John Haltewanger, has taken center stage. The two economists have created a labor market assessment that accounts for people who aren't in the labor force but who want to work, as well as those who already have jobs but who are seeking new opportunities. Compared with official measures, their measure suggests a less volatile labor market, one that didn't contract quite as much during the recession and one that hasn't improved quite as much since. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Thursday Morning Economic Report. When one thinks about rising income and wealth inequality, one has a tendency to think about growing disparities between individuals. But there are also expanding disparities between communities. With a limited set of highly successful cities, cities like San Jose, New York, Boston, Austin, Raleigh, and Washington, D.C., disproportionately attracting both highly educated workers and the high-tech companies that employ them. As indicated by writer Eduardo Porter, This new pattern of economic development amounts to a fundamental break from the decades after World War II, when poorer and generally smaller cities were catching up. Many mid-sized cities and small towns that secured manufacturing-based prosperity decades ago have lost their footing in today's tech-heavy economy. Shifting economic geography is also altering domestic migration patterns, which once helped close economic gaps. Once, poorer places attracted many employers by offering lower-cost workers and land. Today, urban enclaves like New York and Silicon Valley are attracting affluent, highly educated young people while pushing out residents who are older, less educated, and less prosperous. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Friday Morning Economic Report. Many of the listeners to this station likely spend a fair amount of time fixated on money. The Morning Economic Report probably doesn't help matters. But you've heard the helpful cliches. Money isn't everything, and the best things in life are free. Turns out those cliches contain a whole bunch of truth. Though U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics data indicate that they are associated with a median annual income of a bit under $50,000, firefighters enjoy the highest level of job satisfaction. Indeed, according to data from MyPlan.com and Glassdoor, only one of the five happiest professions, pediatricians, comes in at the high end of the annual salary range. The other occupations associated with elevated satisfaction are a specific version of machine operators, communications professors, and guidance counselors. Satisfaction scores are based on a numbered scale from 0 to 10. 10 is the highest possible, with survey response choices including miserable, neutral, and very happy. The score for firefighters was a 9. The five lowest scoring occupations in terms of job satisfaction are telemarketers, insurance claims clerks, maids, municipal clerks, and mail sorters, with a score of 2.5. For WYPR, I'm Anibon Basu.